Hello and welcome to Happy Place, the show that gives you permission to say no to the stuff that no longer brings you joy. I'm Fern Cotton, and today I'm meeting the incredibly courageous Jessie Nelson.
When I entered the music industry, I just thought it was always going to be about music, and it ended up being about my appearance, and it really mentally messed with my head. Like, to be in a girl group, it's so much pressure. And to be compared every single day to three other girls was draining, and I couldn't deal with that anymore.
Over the last 10 years, Jessie has become famous all over the world as part of girl band Little Mix. But fame and the pressures and judgments that come with it isn't what the girl who had dreams of making music signed up for. So, on the 14th of December 2020, Jessie posted a statement on her social media announcing that after 6 albums in 9 years, she was leaving Little Mix. You might have watched her 2019 BBC documentary, Jessie Nelson, Odd One Out, where she spoke very movingly about the effect trolling, especially about her appearance, has had on her over the years. That documentary had a profound effect on me. When we met up with Jessie in central London, I know, we recorded this one in person, which was just absolutely gorgeous. I wanted to find out if the pressure of being compared to her bandmates has lightened now that she's a solo artist, and how she plans to carve a new path for herself in the music industry.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, let's do it. Here's the show, lovelies. Hi, Jessie.
Hi.
You're
all right. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm really happy to see you.
Aren't
I was
you?
I was thinking on my way in, the last time I saw you was at a bowling alley.
That's so weird.
I know. We were both bowling. That's so ridiculously random.
But how long ago was that?
That was so long ago. So that was one of my kids' birthday parties. So I was really... You saw me at my worst, probably trying to sort of sheep herd 10 kids that were not listening to me. I reckon that was about two and a half years ago.
2.5 years, yeah.
I mean, so much has happened in that 2.5 years. And I'm really excited to talk today because it seems from the outside that this is a moment in your life that's a bit of a reset.
Yes, literally.
Would that be correct?
Yeah, massively. It's crazy because I just feel like my whole life's been like a massive roller coaster. But this is the first time for me that I've taken control of my life and been I'm actually now going to look after myself and genuinely do what makes me happy. So yeah, it's been a real big change.
I think it's important to really, I guess, notice when you're in that moment of I'm resetting, Everything's going to change, and it's for positive reasons, and it's because you feel that intuitively you need to change your life.
Yeah,
but it's kind
definitely.
Of, any change is scary, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, honestly, I was shitting myself when I made the decision because it's all I've ever known. And I honestly was I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I had obviously a bit of time away, and it's crazy because I was so go, go, go when I was in the group. We never had time to just be by ourselves, and the only time I had that was lockdown, and for me that was when I realized, oh wow, okay, this isn't for me anymore. And it sounds crazy because obviously we were in a pandemic and there was awful things going on, but it was the first time I'd felt true peace and happiness that I hadn't felt in such a long time. And that was the biggest wake-up call for me, when I was okay, I need to do something about this, because it's not normal that I'm going back to work and I feel depressed. And it's been 10 years of my life that I've felt like that. So, yeah, I just really felt like I needed to look after myself.
It's so interesting when we don't stop and we just keep on going, even though we might have an inkling that something's not working. But we just, I think it's so prevalent in everyone's lives. We don't give ourselves any time to stop and go, how do I actually feel? And yeah. I guess for a lot of people, the pandemic was that pause.
Yeah.
It was, how am I dealing with life? Am I happy in this, whatever it is, job, relationship, geographically where I'm at?
Yeah.
And it just gave us all, not everybody, but it gave a lot of people time to really reflect.
Yeah.
And for you, you've acted on it. You know, this sort of change of life, yeah. this reset. And it seemed like you deleting your Instagram was quite a visual way of doing that, mm-hmm, as well. Like, mm-hmm. did that feel cathartic? Like you were almost wiping the slate clean?
Yeah, definitely. Like, obviously, I don't ever want people to think that I'm just like, right, bye, Little Mix. Like, that's because I had, like, obviously I've had a mental journey in Little Mix and I've had a lot of lows, but I also had some like incredible times in Little Mix, and they are like my sisters. And, you know, I've so lucky that I got to have that platform, because if I didn't, I wouldn't be able to do the stuff that I'm doing now. But yeah, no, it is like a clean slate for me now. And I think it's really important, because the way I was feeling wasn't healthy, like it wasn't normal. And I knew that I had to like make a change.
So you said in that first Instagram post that this is a new chapter for you.
Yeah.
What do you want that to be?
Well, obviously I'm making new music now, which is so exciting, because like Little Mix, I loved the music that we did, but it's not the music that I would listen to. Like, I am a massive R&B hip hop, like people that know me and friends and family, like that's what I grew up on. And that's like my true passion. So that's now, like, I'm now creating the music that's like me. And that feels like so liberating. Like, I feel so free, like just being able to create and do whatever I want. And like wake up and just be like, I'm going to do this today, instead of like having my life planned out and not having a say in it. So, yeah.
It's exciting. I mean, your face is literally lighting up talking about it, which is so lovely.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're, you know, I listened to the new single and it's so brilliant, and you can feel it, like the energy behind it, and that you're enjoying it, and that it's fun. And that's what life's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, that, like, I didn't really realise that until lockdown. It's crazy, because obviously I've been doing it for 10 years, but yeah, like that was such a wake-up call for me. And like, you literally live once, and like life's far too short to be in something that's not making you happy. And I just really wanted to take control and just make myself feel good again. And I didn't even know that that was going to be me going down a solo career and doing music. Like, I just wanted to get my head right. And I had two friends that I've stayed really close with, who work with Little Mix on our music, and they were like, why don't you just come into the studio and like, no, do you want to write for other people or just play around and have fun? Like, take, like, we just wanted to take my mind off of like everything that was going on, and went in, and the first song that we wrote was the first single, which is crazy, because wow, that normally never happens. Like, it's normally like a process and it takes quite a long time, but everything's happened just so naturally, and I feel like it's not meant to be.
It was waiting to be released. It was just sat in you waiting to come out.
And it's crazy, because like, I didn't realise how much I loved writing until now. Like, obviously I did like bits and bobs in Little Mix, but I think when you're telling your story, it's completely different. Like, it's so hard as well to get across your story when there's four people in a song. But yeah, like, I've got so many stories to tell, and it's just nice.
It's so brilliant.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy for you, first of all, and I'm so happy to see you happy.
Thank
and
you.
Looking happy.
Thank
and sounding
you so
happy
much.
And your music's you. Just expressing that. It's really beautiful. And I read there was an interview that you did, I think it was your first interview,
yeah,
post leaving Little Mix, with your friend Felicity, and,
yes,
and you were talking all about the reasons behind you leaving and explaining that,
yeah,
very generously. And you were really honest in saying, you know, a lot of the time you were compared to the,
yeah,
other three girls.
Yeah.
It was sort of relentless for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that had a detrimental effect on you.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think I've been quite open and honest, especially when, obviously, when I did my documentary. I think people know that, like, I've really struggled. But I think it's what the shit is, obviously, when I entered like the music industry, I just thought it was always going to be about music, and it ended up being about my appearance, and it really, really like mentally messed with my head. And I don't think anyone realises the extent of how much it messes with someone's head until you're in that. Like, to be in a girl group, there's like, it's so much pressure, and to be compared every single day to three other girls was draining. And I couldn't deal with that anymore. And I think a lot of people have like misconstrued like what I meant in my statement. Like they're like, oh, so now she's going solo. Like, I never said in my statement, I'm coming out of the music industry. I'm not going to do music anymore. I said, I'm just going to start a new chapter of my life. I just want to make myself happy. I don't know what that's going to be, but I need to look after myself now, make myself, you know, feel better again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, some people are not supportive of that and some people are, and I'm okay with that. Also, like, it wasn't nice for Jade and Leanne and Perry to be around when I was so down. Like, they were were living their dream and I wasn't. Like, I felt very miserable and trapped, and that's not, like, I knew that that wasn't right.
Well, it's so hard as well because we all know that sort of compare and despair model, that if we compare ourselves to others, it's not going to be good. But for a lot of people in the public eye, especially if you're in a girl band, you might not be comparing yourself to anybody else, but everyone's comparing you to them. So it's sort of inescapable. And, you know, I know that feeling. You know, how many people have I been compared to that sort of blonde presenters? And I might be the sort of weirder one or the not so sexy one or whatever. And it's like, do I have to be in this hierarchy? Why can't I just be me? Well, I have to fit into a box of what? And I know on a much lesser extent that plays havoc mentally with how you feel about yourself and your self-worth. And I don't know if it's even possible to summon enough strength to still feel okay about yourself with all of that outside noise. And from watching your documentary, we could see the full extent of that. I mean, it was horrendous and it was bullying. It was, it was simple, straight up bullying that you were subjected to all day, every day. And in the documentary, you explain that prior to X Factor, these weren't issues you were thinking about. You were just living your life, happy, doing your thing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, this bombardment of abuse. Mm. Do you think, I don't know if the documentary was part of this and the therapy you've done since, but do you feel you've healed from that situation?
I would say like 60% of me has. Like, I will never sit here and lie and be like, oh, I'm like so happy now, like I don't have any insecurities, as that's an absolute lie. I still have my insecurities, I still have my struggles. I guess the thing that I'm just feel I'm better with now is that I, silly little things, like now when I do a music video, I'm not looking on the camera and thinking, oh my God, I don't look as skinny as Jade, Leanne and Perry. And that's what I did every single day. And like, for the first time ever, I did my music video and I enjoyed it. Like, I absolutely loved it. And I was like, this is the feeling I should have had the whole time. And yeah, like, I know people might not get it, but I think until you're in that situation, no one will ever really understand, like, how much pressure there is to be in a girl band and to, like, live up to, like, a certain standard of what you're supposed to look like when you're in a girl band.
And also just sort of anticipating a commentary about it. Like, that's normal for people to then dissect anything about you, what you look like, what you sound like, what you're saying. That was so normalized for you that you would 100% expect a reaction of some kind after putting a video out, after a photo shoot. And that's not normal, but we've somehow just, we're so used to that. Oh yeah, everyone can say anything they want about anything now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Without any thought or just consideration that you're a human being.
Yeah, literally. I mean, I still find it mental that there's no, like, there's nothing been put in place yet still, like, any laws for Instagram and Twitter, and it's still mental to me that like, that's still not happened. But I don't know, I think it's different for me now because I'm now in a headspace where I can, like, genuinely sympathize actually with people that say nasty things, because I think, God, you must have something really deep rooted, like an issue within you to want to do that, because me and you would never go around thinking, oh, I'm going to create a fake account and say nasty things to people. Like, you've actually got to be quite a sad person to want to do that. Whereas back then, I didn't have that mindset. I just genuinely felt like everyone hated me. I feel really scared for, like, the younger generation growing up now.
I feel so scared.
Yeah, like, because I obviously never had social media growing up. Like, I just felt like I had a great childhood, like, with my friends. I didn't worry about anything, to be honest. And now I feel like it's just all about what people look like and how much money you've got and how well you're doing. And I do feel sorry for kids now.
I do, because what does that equate to? If you tick all the boxes as to what's going to get likes, what does that even mean? It doesn't equal happiness. No. I mean, you've proved that. You're like a massively successful, famous pop star, gorgeous, doing your thing, and you were deeply unhappy. So, like, we know that that equation doesn't add up, but we still are working towards it. And I wonder, like, what's your relationship like with social media now? Do you look at any comments?
No, I don't, to be honest. Like, my team have my Instagram, and, like, I'll have days when I generally want to go on Instagram. And if I go on Instagram, it's because I don't have Twitter. I will never have that ever again. But with Instagram, if I want to go on there, I'll go on there. And normally, I'll go on there to genuinely just chat to my fans, because some might think it's a bit weird, but, like, some of them have generally become my friends, which is really nice. And, like, they'll just chat to me about, like, their day and if they've got any issues or problems they're going through. And I generally like to chat to them and help them with that. And then, like, sometimes I'll post content, but I don't really like to go on there because I feel like it's quite a... I mean, don't get me wrong. There's, like, obviously there's a lot of positive things about Instagram, but it's quite a lot of negative. And I feel like it can really cloud my headspace when I go on there.
Yeah, well, when you've been through what you've been through as well with that level of toxicity, I get it. You know, I've had it to some extent over my career, and I, like you, grew up before you, but with no social media. And I had a really, really awful patch where I felt everybody was saying stuff about me, and it was really negative, and it was untrue. And I still have a warped relationship with it, where I'll look at it, and some days I think, yeah, I can look at this and I don't feel affected by it at all, the negative or the positive. Yeah. And then other days you're almost looking to torture yourself.
Literally.
You want to sort of berate yourself and, like, punish yourself.
Yeah, it's so weird. That is literally the relationship that I had with it. Yeah, from the beginning of when I started X Factor, I became obsessed with it. But I was, like, rationalising it in my head as though, like, oh, well, if I keep reading these horrible comments, I'll just get used to seeing them. And then when I do see something bad, I'm so used to seeing it that it won't hurt as much. But it was the complete opposite. But I'm very similar to you. Like, if I'm having a bad day, it really affects me.
Yep.
And then other days, it's like water off a duck's back. Like, it generally doesn't bother me. But I'm quite a self-destructive person. I'm like, if I'm in a bad mood, everything's bad.
Yeah.
Like, I hate the way I look. I want to read into everything that people are saying about me. And I just literally am on a path of going down. But if I'm, like, in feeling good about myself, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. I do it too. I self-torture and then I will spiral out of control.
Yeah, literally.
And I thought at this point in my life I would be all right. I could, like, rationalise it and go, I know how this works.
Yeah.
This is fine. But I think it's really important to say it still affects you.
And
because we need to see everybody as human beings who have lives. I'm not talking about just people in the public eye. This goes for anybody, whether it's circles at school or colleagues at work who are having a tough time. It's so important that we don't just look at that digital screen and disconnect from the humanness. Because your documentary again hit home, and I had a massive I'm going to tell you this. I watched it with my husband. I had a huge cry afterwards because I thought I didn't honour the time when I went through something. It wasn't as public as you on a level of sort of bullying, I don't think, but I felt really vilified and really bullied. And I just kept thinking, well, there must be something, I'm wrong. So I deserve this. I really believe that I deserved it. And I really sat there and thought, maybe it's all right that I feel really upset about all that rather than, no, I just had to get through it. And, or any situation in life where I felt dismissed or not seen or whatever.
Yeah.
It was a good release for me and a good chance to look back and go, God, that's really a lot to get through. And I don't want it to sound like, oh, God, poor you, because people have been through far worse. But
you're still human. Mm. And, like, just because people may go through worse situations, like, you're still human with feelings, and you're absolutely in your own right to feel the way you feel. And that's like, it's okay. Like, yeah. I think that I'm very similar in that sense. Like, I just was like, I just need to deal with this. And I never, ever spoke about it because I just wanted to move past it and try and forget about it. But it made it 10 times worse. And I think through doing my documentary, I really realised that speaking to someone and genuinely, like, speaking my truth and letting people know really, really helped.
Have you ever looked at what you think the root fear might be when in context of those comments? Because I've sometimes thought, right, if someone's saying something really shitty about me, or back in the day when they would say all sorts of things, what is my real fear here? It can't just be people don't like me. Like, what does that even mean? I'm still safe, no one can hurt me. So what is my root fear? And I kept, like, going back and, like, underneath another fear. And I think my root fear is that I reject myself all the time.
Yeah.
So if they're rejecting me, maybe I am, you know, all those awful things I think, and I should reject myself. But then what does that mean? Like, how do I live in this body and with these thoughts if I'm constantly rejecting myself? And I think it's an interesting process, because the fear that we think up here, oh, people don't like me, that's never really it.
Mm-mm.
Do you think you know what's on those sort of subterranean levels of worry or fear?
No. But I know that I don't like people not liking me. Like, I know that's a big thing for me, because when I have, like, it really, really does affect me when I see people say, like, horrible things. And, like, I don't know. I've never actually really delved into that. Maybe that's something I need to do.
Yeah, because I think it takes the heat off the action, because then if you know, you think, oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, because I do have days, like, when I'll generally sit, like, when I'm having, like, shitty days and it affects me, I'll sit with my friends and they'll, like, probably, like, sit me down and be like, Jessie, do you really care about these people who literally do not even know you? They know nothing about you other than what they've seen. Like, you, do you actually care about what they think? Because the people that you should really care about and value opinions of are the people that love you and care about you. If we were saying this stuff to you, then I'd understand. And then I'll be like, okay. And I'll, like, check myself and I'll be like, okay. But I don't know, like, why when I'm having bad days, it really, like, I wish that I could just go throughout life, even when I'm having a bad day, I've just genuinely not given a shit.
Me too. I really do. And I really hope that I get there soon. Like, yeah. I'm always working towards it, and I'm definitely making big improvements, but I am so inclined to self-loathe. Like, it's just a little under the surface.
I'm exactly the same.
Yeah, I could say one thing that I think, oh, that wasn't quite right, or anything, and that's it. I will literally then go, I'm a bad mum, I'm a shit wife, I'm a terrible, selfish friend. And I've created a whole story about that, which I think so many people do. But it's just then getting yourself out of that is...
Are you... So when you're, like, in that place, do you find it easy to get out of, or...?
No, I could stew on that for days.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so getting better. It's getting quicker.
Yeah.
I think because I have had a lot of therapy... And actually, the one thing that's helped me massively is having, I never get the letter order right, EMDR, I think it is, which is an eye movement therapy.
Okay.
But you can do, like, a tapping therapy as well.
Yeah.
That's taken the sort of panic side out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I self-loathe, it might be only a day, whereas before I could lose, I'm not even joking when I say 6 months of, like, feeling that bleak about myself.
Yeah.
And, like, just, like, actually quite, this is... Yeah, like, gross. I'd feel gross. Like, I'm a gross person. And even not just physically, I'm just talking, I'm a gross person. And I think it hasn't helped being in the public eye for so long, because I've had it for way more than half my life.
Yeah.
But it's quicker now. It's much quicker. How about you?
Yeah, I'm the same. It's definitely quicker. But I've also got, like, people around me that are very quick to be like, tell me about it.
Yeah.
So that obviously helps. But, you know, I do think that I am definitely getting better, but I'm exactly the same. Like, I don't know if it's, like, because I'm a Gemini, but, like, when I am down, I feel sorry for the people that are around me, because I'm not a nice person to be around.
Same.
And literally just everything's shit.
Yeah.
And it could be, like, I could actually look really good in a photo and I'd be like, it's disgusting, I hate it, don't even show it to me. And it's just crazy, like, how I'll literally, like, just self-destruct.
Well, you just latch onto anything you can, mm-hmm, because it's sort of feeding it,
and
isn't
it almost?
And I
can't seem to, like, get myself out of it. I can't seem to just ever find a positive.
Mm.
I'm really not painting a very good picture of myself, but I'm more likely to find a negative than I am a positive.
Yeah. I think I'm the same. And I think also it's sort of woven into our culture that we're not very celebratory about ourselves. We never go, but God, I'm really good at that.
Yes, but if you do that, then you're seen as cocky or arrogant.
Which is so bad.
Yeah, but I do think it's this country. Because
I do.
Feel like in America, they're like, they celebrate being confident. Yeah. And over here, if you're like, a little bit confident in yourself, you're seen as arrogant and cocky, and, like, people just want to bring you down.
I know, we've got to change that, because how are we going to like ourselves if we can't say it out loud? And
exactly.
So, like, I did a really silly thing the other day. My dad taught me how to do wallpapering, because I've wanted to know for ages.
Yeah.
It's deeply tragic. And I was so good at it instantly, and I loved it. I did two rooms, and my dad was like, how are you doing this? And I, even saying out loud, I'm so good at it. But I fucking was. I was really good at wallpapering.
But why shouldn't you say that?
It's, I don't,
like,
know.
It's like, I put up a post not long ago, like, saying that, like, we find it so much easier to, like, put ourselves down than we do to, like, big ourselves up. And that's not healthy. No, it's not helpful. It's not healthy. It's not normal.
No.
Like, we should be, like, if we feel good, like, I look fucking good today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So to flip that on its head, so we've looked at negative comments and the fear that brings up and the feelings that are all ours. You know, they don't belong to other people. There are feelings that come up. When we look at, say you put a post up on Instagram, as an example, and you got a million likes, everybody loves it, all the comments are just, oh my God, you look amazing, you are amazing, blah, blah. Does that really hit the spot? Does that really boost you and make you feel like, yeah, I'm all right?
Yeah, probably, which is really sad, isn't it?
No, you're being honest.
Well, because it's like, yeah, in a way, you're getting people's approval and validation, aren't you? It's like people are saying, oh yeah, like I like what you're doing. Like, and then as soon as people are negative, that's when you start to like question yourself and like doubt what you're doing. Yeah, it's not good.
Well, I guess the place, it's a hard place to get to, I'm not there, but I guess the place we're all wanting to get to is contentment, where it just doesn't matter what anyone says. Yeah. And if you posted a picture where you thought you looked or sounded or said something amazing, if no one else agreed, that you could still feel those feelings.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
No. And it's just crazy because I could put something up that I absolutely love, and then as soon as like I see a few, if I was to see a few bad things about it, I then start to question it. And it's like, why do we do that? If I love it, it shouldn't really matter what anyone else thinks.
No, and everybody loves to have a little say these days about anything.
Yeah.
Like, and create some sort of argument.
Yeah, a drama. And I'm just like, oh, just piss off and just... be nice. Like, it's not hard to be nice. Like, it really isn't.
No.
And I, honestly, I do sit and think that, like, when I see, like, these things that people write on my posts, I think, what are you actually doing right now at home? Like, what, I want to know what this person looks like, and I want to know what they're feeling. And I'm like, because it must take so much energy to genuinely want to pick up your phone and be like, ah, oh, do you know what? I want to say something really shitty about her.
Yeah.
So I can't ever imagine doing that.
Do you know what I did once? I mean, I've probably only done it once or twice, but someone put something really unwarranted on a post. I think I put something about mental health and they put like yawn.
Thought, oh God, I can't.
So I thought, that's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting. So I thought, I'm going to have a little chat with her.
Yeah.
So I reached out very in a nice way. I'm not up for an argument. I'm not even judging that person. Yeah. So I'm just really interested as to why you would post it. And she put back this lovely thing just saying, you know what? I feel like such an idiot. I was having a really shit day and I just wanted to say something negative and release it out
myself.
But how
funny that she was having a shit day.
And then we had a really nice chat after that, and we had a really nice like, dialogue going.
But this is exactly my point. People that say negative things are either
not happy.
Because no genuinely happy person would ever do that or feel the need to do that.
I know. Well, how do you say your self-worth is today? If we take away all of that, you take away all your fans, you take away Instagram, you take away any commentary about who you are, what you look like. It's just you sat on this sofa right now. How is your self-worth?
I mean, I feel pretty good within myself, like especially mentally, definitely, because I mean, I couldn't say that how many months ago from like October, I was in a really, really bad place. But it's just genuinely like having time to myself, being around like my friends and my family. Like, I never got to do that. And like I said, like, lockdown was the only time I got to do that. And that was when I really realised, oh, well, this is what makes me happy. So I genuinely, hand on my heart, could say that if this was all taken away from me, I know that I could still be just as happy going back to being a barmaid. And as long as I've got my friends and family around me, that's all I need. Like, I know that because I've experienced it. And I know that that's genuinely what made me happy.
Mm. It's really interesting. I was just thinking when you were talking there, and like from watching your documentary, before, so when you were a barmaid and you were just, you know, you were doing some brilliant manifesting, thinking I'm going to win X Factor, which you went on to do, which is amazing. It's so powerful. But you were happy and you'd never given your image a thought. You were just doing your thing.
No.
Much like when before I started in TV, didn't even think about it at all. And I had some seriously horrendous haircuts and outfits, whatever. But I didn't care. I didn't give a shit. So really, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of your trauma and also a lot of the depression is based around what you look like.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not even your problem because you didn't have it before.
Yeah.
It's other people have created a problem that feels like you've got to carry it around.
Mm, yeah, it's crazy. Because even when, like, in my documentary, when the lady was like, because I had such a issue with like watching old videos back of me and watching old interviews and performances, and I genuinely got embarrassed by like looking at how I looked, because that was what people had made me like
believe.
And she was like, but you know that girl got you to where you are now, like you shouldn't hate that girl or be embarrassed, because that girl is why you're here now and having all the success that you've got. And I was like, oh fuck, I've never actually truly like thought about it like that.
She won you the X Factor,
literally.
Like, what an amazing version of you. I so know those feelings, because I mean, god, if I look at any pictures of myself I can't deal, because there was a huge period of my career where no one had a stylist, wasn't even a thing back then. And you would probably do your own makeup, and I had some horrendously questionable things going on looks wise but more than that, way more than that, because that I can think, oh god, it's a bit tragic but kind of cute, but the decisions that I made, and some of the, I think because I had low self-worth, I got into dynamics that were so toxic and unhealthy, and from the age I'm at now I can look back and think, god, I was so walked over there, or someone completely took the piss out of me there, or used me, or whatever. Why did I let that happen? Like, I find that version of me so hard to make peace with.
Yeah.
And I feel embarrassed that I used to be like that, that I wasn't sort of this confident, strong-willed. I mean, I looked confident maybe on the TV, but I wasn't confident in my decision-making and who I hung out with. I was just going, oh, I think I need to be doing this because everyone else is doing it and they look cool or whatever. And I would never do that now. I couldn't give a shit. Obviously, that's age and experience, but I find it so hard to like that me. And I know that I've got to integrate that me with me now.
Yeah.
But it almost feels impossible at times.
Yeah.
Do you think you've done that? Have you made proper peace with that,
no,
Jessie?
No, not completely. But like, I've definitely, I've come a long way. But like I said it in the documentary, like just the littlest things. Like if I would get into a relationship with someone, I'd think, oh my God, if they're going to Google me, they're going to see all these old pictures of me and they're not going to want to go on a date with me. Well, that's how my head used to work, like, because I hated that version of me so much because of what people had said about me. Whereas now, like, that doesn't even enter my head now. But no, I still don't think I'm like, because I still, like, if I ever do see old clips like played on the telly or old music videos, like, I still get this little bit of like, not anxiety, but like an uncomfortable feeling. And I know that that's me still not fully like accepting that version of me, which is crazy.
Do you think you still try and run away from her? Because I think I still run from the old me, because I had a lot of, well, sometimes I still do have like this insecurity that I didn't do well at school because I was already working when I was a kid, so I barely did my exams. I didn't go to university, obviously, or anything like that. And I've had to confront that by interviewing lots of super smart people who've, you know, got degrees or whatever, masters, or they're expert in a subject. And I'm constantly trying to run away from that old me by going, you know, got to read more books, got to do this, got to learn about that. But I'm not doing it because I want to just expand my mind. I'm doing it because I'm so scared that I might still be the girl from Pinner who fucked up at school and whatever. And I'm actively running from her still.
Yeah.
Do you think you do that?
No, because I feel like I've addressed the situation, which I didn't do before.
Yeah.
So, like, I just used to, like, I didn't want to watch any videos. I didn't want to look back at any old pictures. I just literally just wanted to, like, erase that time of my life, because I was so embarrassed by that version of me. Whereas now, like, I can, like, as much as I'm still, like, ooh, like, when it comes up and I'm like, God, I'm not, like, I can't not look at it. Like, I can deal with it now and I'm, like, okay with it, and I don't, like, shit myself if I go on a date and think they're going to Google me, like little things like that. But yeah, no, I'm still definitely like not completely 100% with it.
And how are you with that erasing of time? Because I've done that. I've still blocked loads of stuff out. And I, when I spoke to a therapist about this, she said she kind of did a bit of backtracking and thought, right, if you're having panic attacks because of this, this and this, it's probably because you haven't integrated that part of your memory still. You're like actively blocking it out, and that's causing you to feel like you're out of your body, which is my panic attack, is I'm leaving my body, I'm physically not in it, I'm floating over here somewhere. So my work is to try and get all those years back and think, okay, this stuff happened, but it's fine. Do you still delete sections of your life?
I don't think so, no. No, I wouldn't say that I do.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And what, how's the panic?
In terms of, like...
Are you still having, like, anxiety attacks?
No. Well, I mean, touch wood. But, like, so I had them in the very beginning of, like, being in the band. And obviously I'd never experienced anything like that in my life. And I was like, what the fuck is this? This is awful. And then they went away. And then obviously, like... right before I left the band, they started resurfacing, I started having panic attacks again, and I was like, this is, what is going on? And that's when I knew that something wasn't right, because I was like, performing is my thing, like that is my, it's crazy, because even though I never had confidence to just like fully be myself, when I was on stage, I guess it's because you kind of play a character when you're on stage. I'm not fully myself, I'm not really Jessie when I'm on stage. I like become a, kind of like how Beyonce is Sasha Fierce.
Yeah.
And performing is my thing. And like, I've never, like, all the girls always used to say to me, God, like, I'm so jealous that you don't get nervous. And I actually used to get pissed off that I didn't get nervous, because for me, if I get nerves before I go on stage, it gives me adrenaline, which is what I really need before I go on stage. And so when I was, like, going on and doing Live Lounge, and I literally had a panic attack right before I was about to go on, which has never happened before, I was like, why is this happening? I couldn't understand, like, why I was having a panic attack when that was the thing I was best at. That was the thing I was most confident to do. And I knew that, like, something wasn't right.
Yeah.
And then it just kept happening. Like, I was doing music videos, I was having panic attacks on music videos, and it just got worse and worse.
But it is a sign. It is a sign that something needs to give.
It's your body telling you. Yeah. It literally is. Mm. Yeah.
Well, and you've massively addressed that now, because you've changed everything, and you're making it work for you. I mean, how was it being in the studio for the first time completely on your own, doing your own thing? It's your music, it's your expression. How did that feel?
It was really fun, but I think it felt more fun as well, because it was people that I'd already worked with, they were friends, so I felt in quite a safe environment. I guess if I'd have gone in with people that I'd never worked with before, and I think that would have been way more daunting, but I loved it, and it was just really nice, like, writing songs about, like, experiences that I've been through. So it is like therapy. And you get the best songs out of whatever you're feeling. Like, if I'm feeling something that day, I'm like, I need to get in the studio and write a song about this.
It's a gift from feeling shit is writing or whatever it is.
Literally.
Expression.
And I was going through a breakup at the time as well. So when I was in the studio, like, I've honestly wrote some really bloody good songs because of it. So yeah, but it really is like therapy, and I love it so much.
And how are you feeling about getting all of that new music out there for everybody to hear it and embrace it?
I just can't wait, because this is like my true authentic self. Like, this is me. Like, this is the music I've generally always wanted to make. So yeah, and it's just nice for, like, people to really see, like, the real me, the true, like, this is the artist I've genuinely always wanted to be. Like, don't get me wrong, like, I loved what we did in Little Mix, but it's completely different to what I would do as a solo artist. So, yeah, I just can't wait. And I hope that, like, there's some songs on there that I'm so proud of that I've written, that I really hope when people, like, listen to them, that it actually helps them. And that's what I really want to get out of my music. I want people to listen to my album and genuinely be like, oh, fuck, she's feeling how I'm feeling. And like, because there's been times when I've felt really shit, and I've listened to like a certain artist, and their song has generally made me feel better.
Same here.
Like, music is so powerful.
I know, I love it.
Yeah.
It's the best. Like, that actually is a bit of a game changer for me if I'm feeling shit, is having some really good music that I know will lift me.
Yeah.
It's so powerful.
Yeah, it really, really is. It can so either good. Make you feel so sad, or it can make you feel like, honestly, like, I can be feeling really shit, and if I put a song on that makes me feel like a fucking bad bitch, I can literally, like, change into a completely different person. It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's,
I love that. Bad bitch song. I need to find... I don't know how to locate my bad bitch song, but I have located loads of songs that make me cry, and I love a good cry.
Yeah. Crying's the best.
Crying is so good.
But everyone thinks that you shouldn't cry. Like, I've said this so many times, like, why? when we cry, do we like go, are we like stop ourselves from crying?
I know, it's because we feel vulnerable.
But
we feel
when we
exposed.
Laugh, like no one goes, oh, stop yourself from laughing. I know. It's just a bloody emotion. If you feel sad, be fucking sad.
Get it
but
out.
But we don't let ourselves do that, which is why I think so many people struggle with mental health and like, because we just don't allow ourselves to feel how we want to feel and we kind of mask it and just try to crack on and that actually makes it worse.
It does. And I think you've mentioned so many times throughout this chat, like how important it is to have these people around you, whether it's your friends, whether it's people you work with previously that you need in place.
Yeah.
I think it's so important because if you've got people around you who aren't willing to give you the space, who don't say, okay, well, tell me more about that. Or who just go, oh, well, there's people who have far worse going on or whatever, and they shut you down. That is so detrimental to you moving through it because you just get stuck in it.
Yeah,
so
massively.
It seems like that is such an important thing for you, well, everyone,
to
have that soul team in place that are going to be there for you.
I just want to be honest, like the team that I had prior to what I've got now, like didn't care. Genuinely didn't, and that was something that really led me to feeling depressed and wanting to not do it anymore because I genuinely felt like no one gave a shit, and when I voiced that I was struggling, no one cared, and that was like a real thing for me of like, okay, wow, like I'm just genuinely here to just do my job, like, and yeah, now like obviously I've got a new team and I'm around like people that genuinely love and care about me, and it makes such a difference. So I think when you are struggling, when you feel that way, it's so important to be around people that genuinely love you and care about you and just want the best for you.
Well, also, I think the hardest thing when you're struggling is feeling like you're alone in it.
And that is what I felt. Like, I felt really alone. And I almost, like, then felt like when I was coming to work, like, you know, you can just feel like an energy of people just not wanting you to be there. And I hated that. Like, I hated walking into a room thinking people don't want me to be here. And when you're already feeling shit, like, yeah, it's just that's a hard environment to be in.
How much of that do you think was your own paranoia versus what was really going on?
I don't think there was paranoia, like, if I'm being honest. Like, there's like certain things that went on and happened that spoke the truth, really. So, yeah.
And it's, you know, it's hard to get out of that, isn't it? I've been in situations like that at work where I've thought, God, I really don't think people like me.
Yeah.
And I have questioned, is that me being, like, dramatic? Am I putting myself in this position? But I think you know.
Yeah, massively.
You can feel it.
Well, I could tell because when I wasn't at work and I was around my friends and family, like, I felt like a different person. And then I'd walk back into work and I'd question, like, God, am I a knob? Am I, like, hard to deal with? And I just questioned myself all the time. But then as soon as I wasn't at work, like, I felt like Jessie, like, the one who my friends and family really love. But, like, it was just an energy and an aura of just, yeah, I just felt like people didn't want me to be there or wanted to be around me and didn't want to really address that I was not in a good place and was kind of just like, well, you kind of just need to crack on and get on with it.
Well, I guess it, this is as cynical as it gets, but we know what this industry can be like. There's no time to feel down.
No.
I didn't have that when I was in a bad place. It was like, there was no time for me to have a day off work.
Mm,
I couldn't.
It's not good.
It's not good. It's not good for anyone. I know there's millions of people, there's lots of people that listen to this podcast who feel deeply alone in it and deeply depressed, and their boss isn't going to say you can have a day off or a week off or however long you need off to sort of get some kind of help or support. It's really hard. I think the infrastructure that we're working with on a societal level doesn't allow time for mental problems. Physical it will, because you might have to go and have something sorted or whatever, but the mental one, because it's usually invisible, it's still, there's still such disparity between you're physically ill, you have time off, or you're mentally very unwell, have time off. That's still, there's a taboo around that still that I think's not great. And there's a lot of people suffering because of that.
Yeah, which is why people don't talk about it and why they struggle.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure who you spoke to first, but did you feel worried that there would be concerns about if you could carry on doing what you were doing if you spoke up? Because I think I certainly had that. Like, if I say how I'm really feeling, well, I still have a bloody job here because I don't know if I will.
Yeah. Well, I just remember, obviously, the first time. So, like, obviously, I'd, like, taken an overdose. I went into hospital and then I had a music video, like, a week after. And obviously my mum found out and she was distraught and she was like, right, this is it. You're not doing this anymore. Like, because my mum's the kind of mum that's like, I genuinely couldn't give a shit what you do. As long as you're happy, yeah. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
So she was like, no, this isn't happening anymore. I'm like putting my foot down and you're coming out of this. And obviously I didn't know what to do at the time because it was very early stages of Little Mix as well. And I just remember going in, talking about it, and I was told, well, you know, if you take time off, then it's just going to cause articles and then there's going to be loads of press around it. So then what are you going to do? And well, I don't think that's a good idea. And it was kind of just brushed under the carpet. And then I was told, well, you should just go on antidepressants. There was no like, you know, let's address this. Let's like sort this out. Let's properly take time. Like, there was no like actual concern for me. It was just more like, oh God, well, what's everyone going to say? And like, and I was just like, oh, okay. So I just brushed it under carpet, did the music video the next week, and it was like nothing ever happened. And I think that's what led to, like, it just got worse.
Well, you carry that shit around.
Yeah.
You can't move. You can't just move on to it and do a music video. It's still all there, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I guess there is always a breaking point, and yours has been to change your whole life, and it's going to be for your mental well-being.
Yeah.
And for your happiness.
Yeah, and I know I've made the right decision because, like, this might sound really bad, but like I haven't woke up and thought, oh, and had that feeling of, have I made the right decision? Like, I know I have. And yeah, I just mentally with how I feel, like I genuinely feel like this is what feeling happy should feel like.
Mm.
And I feel that like that a lot more than just like every like now and then, which is what I used to feel. It was very rare that I actually felt happy.
Do you think if you'd told yourself whilst you're in Little Mix that you could feel happy again, that you would have believed it?
No.
Mm.
And I just got so used to just feeling like that. And like I said, I sound like I'm like, get the strings out, but it's fucking hard being in a girl band. There is literally like a machine. Like, you don't have any time to just be or just do what you actually want to do. Like, and yeah, it's a lot to deal with.
And you don't feel that now, that's gone.
Yeah, because I like if I wake up and my manager goes to me, Jessie, this is coming for you today, do you want to do this? I have the choice to say, no, I don't, or yes, I do. I didn't have that before. So like, if I was waking up and I genuinely had days when I would wake up and think, how am I going to get out of bed today? Like, I feel so depressed. I don't know how I'm going to get out of bed today. And I would have to go and do a photo shoot and wear a bloody bikini and act like I was fucking loving life. And that was what was really hard for me, that I didn't have any control. I felt like I had no control over my life.
Mm.
And it sounds like I sound really selfish saying that, because there's so many people that would be like, well, then you shouldn't have got into the industry, like, because that's what comes with it. But at the same time, I'm like, well, no, not really. Like, I didn't come into this industry for people to literally tear me down because of what I look like.
No, nobody... That should never have happened, and nobody deserves that at all. And I think maybe it's an age thing as well. Like, we all end up wanting to go our own way and have a bit more control over life, and we know what we like a bit more, and we have the confidence to say it out loud.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I do think it definitely comes with age as well. Like, I was like, it's 10 years. Yeah. Like, it's a very, very long time. And we were all kind of, like, going off to do our own things anyway. But, yeah, no, like, I loved being in Little Mix, and it's, like, I've had the most incredible memories, but like now, like I want to start a new journey, and yeah, it's exciting.
Well, I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to see what you do next. And as I said at the start, I'm just so glad to see that you're happy.
Thank you so much.
That's all that matters.
It is though. Like, I honestly believe that in life, you just got to make yourself happy and do, you live once. Life is too fucking short to be doing shit that don't make you happy.
Hear, hear.
Yeah.
You will have absolutely have heard it in Jessie's voice throughout that chat, but let me just confirm that she really was glowing with contentment. Thank you so much, Jessie, for sharing so much of what you've been through. I so appreciate it. Jessie's first solo single, Boys, features Nicki Minaj, and as you heard it in our chat, she co-wrote it and co-directed the music video too. It's bloody brilliant, and I cannot wait to see her really thrive as a solo artist in the industry. Is there someone in your life you know would benefit from hearing Jessie's words? Tell them about this episode. Tell them there's a whole back catalogue. I think there's about, 130 or something chats to listen to now, with just so many incredible people. You can follow the podcast for free wherever you're listening to this right now, so you never miss an episode. Thank you so much to Jesse, to the producer Anushka Tate at Rethink Audio, and to you for being a part of this. I bloody love you. I'll see you next week.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.